Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
They get the two runs and they... What they can, they give it, they can take it away, right? That fast. Or yep. Take it away, they can...
And Chris Ello.
How do you feel about the Kraken?
Yeah, Chris.
It kind of makes me think of crackheads, so I'm not really a fan of it yet.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
How's it, San Diego? A great afternoon to you. Welcome inside Gwen and Chris for a Wednesday full four-hour program lined up today. A couple of new segments headed your way as we get rolling from our Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, California. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. And Scraby's been hard at work, Tony, on the new segment, which is coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, called Rate the Radio Call.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this one.
Looking forward to it. We'll have highlights of all kinds of sports action, and Tony and I are going to rate the radio call. We also have an all-time great call to include in the package, so we'll have some fun with that a little bit later on. We are going to take a look at some of our Major League Baseball preseason picks to see how smart we really aren't, and that'll be coming up a little bit later in the program, along with Chris versus the Fans, the Big Five, the Daily Gambit, and Mark Ziegler of the San Diego Union Tribune. How are you today, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
I am well. I am
good.
Doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. Is it? No, Wednesday.
Well, yeah, you're doing very well for a guy that doesn't know what day it is.
I was doing good yesterday.
You had a good day yesterday, and you're just...
No, I'm doing good today. 3:02 on the clock, and, you know, it's sports is going a whole bunch of different ways right now. You got Major League Baseball having terrific playoff series. You got the NFL and what is turning to a mess of a situation that it seems like it's going to contact a lot more than just John Gruden when this is all said and done. On the basketball front, you have one of the best guards in the league that has basically been told to stay at home until further notice or until he makes a different decision.
Yeah.
And so sports is booming right now. It's the topic of conversation, not just on the sports level, but on a world level, really national level, I should say.
And I'm sure a lot of people around the water cooler today discussing the opening night in the National Hockey League.
I don't know if you saw it. The Kraken had some of the best pregame, I don't even know what you want to call it. They're the lights that they use.
They weren't at home, I thought.
That's Las Vegas.
Was that Las Vegas?
Yeah. They like their pregame?
It was pretty.
Hey, they got to compete in Las Vegas.
Wait, the Kraken have played a preseason game at their place, haven't they?
Yeah, they probably have, and but last night's game was in Las Vegas.
Okay,
so if you're talking about last night's game.
I saw some video of what they did at their place.
Okay,
with the big,
gotcha.
With the big octopus,
the squid, the big squid. Come on, you're the one that explained us the difference yesterday between an octopus and a squid.
With the big,
you gave us a whole head shape, size.
The squid have a crown.
They got a crown.
You sounded like Jacques Cousteau yesterday.
Right.
Had everything down on the crack.
My point
history.
Is, sports is booming right now.
Yes,
sports
it's exciting. The NHL did get underway last night. The NBA starts next Wednesday, I believe, is opening night, or maybe Tuesday. There might be a couple of games ahead of that. But NBA is rolling out.
We're just going to do the tour. I'm going to keep doing this.
You're just, like, excited about all sound today. You're going to be playing all kinds of sound.
Hey, it's right in front of me. I might as well use it.
Well, do you have any croquet music or cricket music or soccer music, or what if we want to talk about those subjects today? Are you going to be prepared? What is that? That
sounds
sounded
like
a train.
Just a horn.
Oh,
a horn.
I didn't know what that was. Padres fans could have had a little moment of celebration last night anyway, but it didn't come to be. As the Dodgers staved off elimination with a 7-2 victory over the San Francisco Giants. And I don't know, I guess I would like both Dave Roberts and especially Gabe Kapler to get off of my lawn and start leaving
you
some
off of theirs.
One way or the other, start leaving a starting pitcher in the game. Anthony DeSclafani got to throw 28 pitches last night. He gave up a grand total of 2 runs before he was removed. Walker Buehler, who was sailing along, didn't even make it through.
28 pitches to give up 2?
2 runs. Come on. Hey. You got it removed after 2 runs now? A giant bullpen, which we saw all of last night, 7 pitchers worth. They gave up 5 more runs, so not like they necessarily did any better job. Walker Buehler on the other side couldn't go long enough to qualify for a win. I honestly, baseball's going to have to change the rule on what it takes for a starting pitcher to get a win now, because very few of them ever make it through 5 innings. Buehler got 4 1/3 in, and before he was replaced by the great Joe Kelly, who extracted the Dodgers from a mini Giants rally in that 5th inning, and he picked up the win. But Mookie Betts came up big, and Will Smith, who almost always seems to come up big and clutch situations. Remember, it was his home run last year off Will Smith, the other Will Smith of the Atlanta Braves, that turned around the National League Championship Series. Dodgers at the time were down 3-1 and trailing by a couple of runs in game 5. And Smith hit that home run off of his namesake. And the Dodgers took the lead, went on to win that game 5 and the series. So once again, facing elimination, Will Smith gets it done last night. And, it didn't look like the Giants were really serious about trying to clinch it last night. They just kind of came up with a dull performance, and maybe the Dodgers took that away from them by scoring right away. I thought that double by Trey Turner in the first inning was a big deal, Tony. Get the Dodgers off and rolling.
It was a big deal. Really, the Giants haven't been spectacular offensively the entire series.
What have they scored? 2 runs? 1 run? 2 runs,
yeah,
and I think they got, 4 in the first game?
First
four
game
nothing
was, the, was their highest scoring.
Yeah, they've only
so
scored
far.
9 runs in 4 games. They're going to need something in game 5.
Yeah, and they're going to be at home. So they've had the horseshoe in their back pocket all season long.
Yeah.
No reason to believe it won't be there for them. Will it be enough? I don't know. The Dodgers have that depth that comes into play here. They can throw Urias tomorrow, which it looks like is going to happen.
Yeah.
And from there, I would assume everybody's all hands on deck here, so that means Scherzer's available, most likely. The only person not available will probably be Walker Buehler. So
I would think so. Logan Webb will start for San Francisco. They'll be looking for him to pitch the same kind of game he pitched in game 1, but easier said than done, doing that exact thing twice to the same team in a span of a week. Logan Webb has been outstanding for the Giants all year long, but this is a big task for him in a deciding game, and we'll see. You know, the Giants over the years I can't call it playoff action because they don't call what the Dodgers and Giants played in 1954 playoffs, but Bobby Thompson's home run in a deciding game, the Giants won that. 1962, the Giants beat the Dodgers in a deciding game. to win another playoff and go to the World Series. So we'll see about this deciding game coming up tomorrow. But for today, baseball gets the day off. I don't know if that's great, good luck or whatever. It's just the way it worked out for baseball. I think you like to keep the momentum once the playoffs get going, yeah, and not have a day where there's not a single game being played. Obviously, the Astros and the Red Sox will get ready for the American League Championship Series. They both clinched yesterday, and they will start on Friday evening. I hope evening is the proper word for that, at Minute Maid Park in Houston for Game 1. That's a 5:07 p.m. start Pacific time on Friday night for the Red Sox and the Astros. And how about those Astros? I mean, my goodness. I think they honestly, you said it, you touched on it yesterday, Tony. They are thriving on the fact that everybody hates them. And it seems like the more people hate them, the more they win. And, you know, it's that what is it, you circle the wagons type of attitude, and us against the world attitude. It can be very effective, and it can help teams prosper. And I think that's what Houston's using right now.
It was interesting. I had a conversation with Alex Bregman when they came here to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And he talked a little bit about, you know, kind of being banged up this year. Last year he was a little banged up, and he said he, you know, kind of was feeling sorry for himself because of all of the stuff that was going down. And if you think back to that season, they played under 500. Even though it was a 60-game season, they got into the playoffs with an under 500 record.
Right.
And then went on a run. And it seemed like at the end of the season, they finally, like, stopped feeling sorry for themselves and almost embraced this villain mentality. Because yeah, from that point on, they were, as I said, they were one game away from the World Series last year. They've kind of taken on that same, because remember, this is the first year fans were allowed into the stand. So it's almost like they got a year of practice as the villain, and then they have fully embraced it in this season. And they play some of their best baseball when this time of the year is going on.
Yeah, they love to be booed, and they love to be heckled, and they love to shove it back in everybody's face. And like I said, I think it's an attitude that can work. I mean, yeah, go back to the late 1980s, early 1990s, and the Bad Boys, the Detroit Pistons. I mean, that's a classic example of a team that everybody hated, and won back-to-back NBA championships. And not only did they do that, they were relevant for like 5 years. It wasn't that they won just those two titles and went away. They were great for a long time, and they had a bunch of Hall of Fame players, Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars and Rodman and the rest of them, Mahorn and Laimbeer. And they love to be hated. And
I give you
work for them.
I'll give you I mean, it's almost like when LeBron went to Miami, like that first year. You know, it was like he didn't want to embrace being the villain. They end up losing in the finals.
They didn't win, yeah.
And then he just like was, forget it. Then if you guys are going to hate me,
if you're going to hate me, I'm going to give you reason to hate me.
Right. And then they win two straight finals.
Yeah,
and
New York Yankees have won more World Series than anybody. What do they call them? The Evil Empire.
Right.
So it's a great attitude that a good job of taking the right attitude, I think, by the Houston Astros. And they got to be a solid favorite over the Boston Red Sox.
I still think this is going to be a terrific series, though, just based on the way Boston plays. They got an energy about them right now with the bunch of guys that I think in their mind feel like were kind of cast-offs, you know?
Sure.
You know, everybody, I don't think anybody had them. I think they were picked last in this division this season.
They couldn't have been picked last. They could not. I mean, they finished last year.
I mean,
year,
not Baltimore, because Baltimore's in
the division. Yeah, everybody
they were picked to finish towards the bottom of their division.
Absolutely.
This year.
Nobody had them doing what they've done.
And so in some ways, they kind of have a similar chip. Maybe not a villain, but certainly like we've kind of bonded over everybody doubting us type of idea. And now here they are, going to go up against the Astros. This is a rematch from a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've met each other in the playoffs a couple of times, so it should be a great series. But first, we got to settle the series between the Giants and the Dodgers. One last thing about the Astros and Red Sox: you look at their statistics from the season, at least in terms of batting average, OPS. Both teams in the top three offensive categories for the American League. And I kind of like that. I know pitching always wins championships and defense, but I've said it, and I'll continue to say it, if you don't bring any offense to the postseason, I don't care how good your pitching is. Ultimately, you're going to crack and you're going to give up a couple of runs somewhere.
Ask the Brewers.
You've got to score runs to be able to find a way to score runs in the postseason. And you normally have to find a way to do it without the long ball.
Right,
you might get a home run or two here and there. But the pitching is so good that you're not likely to just sit back and hit 4 3-run home runs. You've got to manufacture runs. You've got to find a way to score. And both the Astros and Red Sox, I think, are capable of doing that. I know the Dodgers are capable of doing that, and you brought it up. The question is going to be tomorrow night whether the Giants can find a way to do that. They're going to need 4 or 5 runs, I would think, tomorrow night if they want to get to the NL Championship Series. Against Atlanta, which beat Milwaukee, another overmanaged team that changes pitchers every inning and a half. And, you know, look, Craig Counsell, trying to save his season, brought Josh Hader in the 8th inning of a tie game. That's fine. I can't be critical of that. You got to get your best guy out there. But that's a situation that Josh Hader never pitches in, a tie game in the 8th inning. I mean, he's a 9th inning closer, and Freddie Freeman got him big time with that solo home run to win the game.
You got to tip your cap there. I mean, that's just
no kidding.
Good,
I mean, off of Josh Hader, how easy is that to do?
It's not. To answer your question, I mean,
yeah,
to be in that spot and go Oppo Taco on a slider, it was a beautiful thing to watch. But you wonder, man. If Williams is available, and I know it was probably going to be this matchup anyway because it was lefty on lefty.
It might have been, but you're right. Devin Williams would have pitched the 8th inning. That's a great call, Tony. That's his inning. Josh Hader is the 9th inning guy, and they had Hader in the 8th inning. And I would imagine Craig Counsell probably told him, hey, you're going maybe 2 or 3 innings tonight if we need you. And who knows, maybe he was saving just a tad, you know, rather than just going, you know, lights out in the 8th inning, figuring he had to pitch the 9th. And who knows, maybe that was the difference. I don't know. The Braves used 8 pitchers as well, and that's baseball in this day and age until somebody smart does something about it. All right, that's the baseball talk. When we come back, we will open up the Pandora's box that is this John Gruden situation with the National Football League. Also, Kyrie Irving creating quite a stir with his decision not to get vaccinated in Brooklyn. Steve Nash has come out, and he has some comments about that. So we'll get into those two items. And then Mark Ziegler will join us in this hour, talk a little Aztecs with you. So stick around. We got a good one for you lined up between now and 7 o'clock. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. It is the number one sports station in San Diego, California. We are 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
3:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. The NFL is, I don't know if we'd say this is hot water, but there are a bunch of eyeballs on them right now.
Yeah.
And what they do next. Now, the part of the fallout from the John Gruden emails is that, as we mentioned yesterday, this is about a trove is not even a word, I think, at this point, over 650,000 emails is a part of this.
I believe that's technically called a boatload.
A boatload of emails. And mind you, this investigation started because of accusation that the workplace was unsafe for women in particular. And these emails.
And it was mostly directed at the Washington football team.
Right. Right.
Gruden just kind of fell into the net that was cast.
Bruce
here.
Allen, I believe he was sending these emails to, if I'm not mistaken, who was, I believe, the head at the time
of the football team.
The football team.
I can't imagine he sent all 650,000. That would be a lot.
So part of what's going on now is the NFLPA has asked. For these emails. The NFL is a little hesitant to give these emails up.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the reason why they're asking for these emails, because along the lines of some of the issues that John Gruden lost his job for, we've been talking now for I don't know how many years about the lack of opportunity for coaching spots, and not only coaching spots for GMs, for people of color. Right?
Yeah, no question about it. Right? There's still only one team that has a African-American GM slash coach combination.
Right.
And that's the Dolphins. That's it. There's no other team that has that. So it's pretty clear that, like DeMaurice Smith says, one of the reasons that he really wants the NFL to release all these emails is he wants to determine whether race has been a factor in hiring decisions around the league.
And because the argument from the NFL has been, well, at least most of the owners, is that that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, they keep saying it's not the case, but I don't believe them, number one. Number two, I'm pretty sure if you get your hands on 650,000 emails, a couple of those, at least four, are going to probably contain some sort of misconduct by ownership toward African Americans and some bias in terms of the hiring process. It only figures that out of 650,000, I would think probably more than just four. I was kidding when I said that, of course.
No.
But you know, it's time that the NFL's dirty dark secret get out publicly. I mean, you know, this league has been a billionaire, you know, white boys club for, you know, decades and decades, probably ever since the league started, probably since the Decatur Staleys became the Chicago Bears.
By the way, I won.
All right, give me a break.
That win, Smith,
yes,
sorry.
Yes,
give me a
break.
The Decatur Staleys.
Yes, there was another one, the Portsmouth Lion Killers, I think they were called.
They weren't. All right, stop interrupting me. I'm trying to make a point here.
I wasn't interrupting you.
You are. Anyway, here's the bottom line. The NFL has this dirty, dark secret. They don't want all of these emails to get out because it's going to make them look bad. There's no question in my mind it'll make the National Football League look bad. But you know what? The only way we're ever going to be able to start getting to the bottom of the situation is to start scratching the scab. And we've got to get this stuff out, and we need to get to the bottom of this. There's no reason why a league in which, 60-70% of the players are African-American, if not more, is run by 99.9% people that aren't African-American.
And listen, not even necessarily just the ownership part, right? I mean, you got to have the right kind of change to own a team. I completely understand that, but for there to be no executives that are qualified to put a football roster together, there's none.
Pretty hard to believe, and the way women have been treated around the National Football League in general, workplace misconduct. I mean, some of the stuff that leaked out when they were originally investigating Daniel Snyder was about as ugly as
it
gets.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk about the homophobic thinkings of National Football League people, which did come out in John Gruden's texts and emails, and to the point where Jeff Fisher, who was the coach of the team that signed Michael Sam, the first openly gay player to attempt to play in the National Football League anyway, Jeff Fisher responded to all of this stuff basically unprovoked today because he wanted to try to get ahead of it. And he said, Jeff Fisher, among other things, that the NFL never encouraged or discouraged him regarding the selection of a potential prospect, that being Michael Sam, who he's talking about, and says that his draft was based on his production, pass rushing skill set, et cetera, that he was never forced into drafting him is really the point that Jeff Fisher's trying to make. But I think that, you know, the NFL just sails along with a happy public in tow. And it's high time that these guys get called out for some of the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes. And, you know, you brought this up the other day when John Gruden's resignation, the day after his resignation, William C. Roden wrote about it in The Undefeated, I guess it was called. His article was spectacular. We read you some of that. But the bottom line being that John Gruden might be the fall guy right now, but there had to be people he was sending the emails to and the texts to that obviously felt allowed him to feel comfortable sending them. That in and of itself tells you that there's a bigger problem at hand
Now, Las Vegas Raiders owner Mark Davis broke his silence today. He didn't say much, but what he said, I think, was telling. He said, I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers. Now, obviously, he didn't expand, but his words suggest that there's more to the situation than Gruden's leaked and offensive emails that surfaced last week. So this story is only going to get bigger, I assume, as the year goes along. And if the NFL is smart, right, you might want to get this out the way prior to some of the bigger events coming down the pipeline here for your season.
Week five would be better to get it out than during the AFC and NFC championship games. Yes. Number one, if the NFL smartly, in my mind, releases some of this stuff with commentary and with explanations and things of that nature, they stand a better chance in the court of public opinion than if they let somebody else break the stories.
Because as long as it's being broken,
detail,
it seems like it's being secretive. And
that's right. Detail this stuff based on what they hear. So yeah. I would highly recommend that the NFL take a page from Jeff Fisher's book. You know, try to get out in front of it as best you can, because right now you're lagging behind. And the further you get behind, the worse it's going to look.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, the Aztec football team off to a terrific start. Before you know it, Aztec Hoops will be here, and we've got Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, joining us next to talk about it all. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Find your new summer soundtrack. It's by Odyssey. There are hundreds of new stations for summer barbecues, road trips, working out, or relaxing poolside. Download the free Odyssey, AUDACY. The free Odyssey app, download it today. By the way, download that thing. You can click on it and go to our show. And you can find yesterday's interview with Buster Olney, which had a up-to-date conversation with Buster on the process with the Padres' search for a new manager. Bob Nightingale mentioning a couple of different names today that I hadn't seen before. Tony Gwynn Jr.
in
a tweet says the names being internally discussed include Bruce Bochy, Buck Showalter. You've certainly heard those names. Brad Ausmus, you've heard that name, but here's a couple you maybe haven't. Jeff Banister, John Gibbons, Ron Renicki, and John Farrell. Farrell managed the Red Sox to a World Series title. Renicki has Major League Baseball managing experience. So does Gibbons. And Jeff Banister used to be the manager of the Texas Rangers. I just thought you guys would all get a kick out of that. So we'll talk more about the Padres managerial search a little bit later in the show. But coming up in this segment, we're going to visit with Mark Ziegler, the San Diego Union Tribune. Talk a little San Diego State basketball. Season's right around the corner. First, let's check some traffic.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now to visit with one of our favorites on the program. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. And joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is, indeed, Mark Ziegler, the San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent. Thank you. And I know Aztec basketball is getting rolling here shortly. I do definitely want to talk about that and Brian Dutcher's team. But a general question first, if you don't mind. And I know this is normally seems like a football topic, but I think it encompasses the basketball program as well. And that is San Diego State's desire or not desire to change conferences and staying in the Mountain West Conference for now. A lot of people think that's because the Aztecs feel down the road they could get into the Big 12 perhaps or something. Why wouldn't San Diego State be the perfect selection, especially from a basketball perspective, for the Big 12?
Well, there's a couple of factors there. I mean, one of them is just the travel. You know, you're going to be going 2 and 3 time zones if you get into the Big 12. You're going to go to places that you can't get to commercially. And San Diego State right now flies commercial to all but about 2 or 3 trips a year. And you'd have to charter, that's, you know, $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 per trip more. So there's some financial and logistical challenges. But, I mean, I think all things considered, if they called, San Diego State would jump and jump in that conference. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to what kind of TV revenue you can make. And we don't know what the new Big 12 will get in its new contract without Texas and Oklahoma. But I think you can be pretty sure it's going to be more than the $3 million that schools are getting in the Mountain West. And that's, you know, $2 million more than they used to get. And so I think that would be the biggest enticement. You know, they put the logistics and the travel and some of the extra expenses aside just to get that extra TV check.
Mark, Chris and I were talking about it, I think a couple days ago, it might have even been yesterday, about what Dutch and this program needs to do to get to that next level. They have gotten to the level now where they are consistently a top 25 team. They consistently, you know, make a decent run in the NCAA tournament. But what is the next step for them? How do they get to that point?
Well, I actually think they've done it. And what it is now is just patience and time. I mean, I think if you look across the history of college basketball, you look at programs and their ascendancy, a program like Gonzaga is a perfect example because it's also a mid-major, not part of a power conference. And yeah, they finally made a Final Four, and they've done it a couple times, but it took them almost 2 decades to do that. And how they did it wasn't just getting one really good team. They got a whole bunch of teams. And as you know, the NCAA tournament is just a crapshoot. It's a one-game tournament. It's not best of seven series. It's one game. You know, your star might have an off shooting night. You might get a bad whistle. Someone might get sick. You know, a few years ago, San Diego State went back and played Duke, and I'm not sure they're going to beat them anyway, but the entire team came down with a stomach flu. All the coaches, half the players. I mean, things like that happen in the tournament. You get a bad draw. You got to get a bad matchup. And so I think this, you know, the best plan is just to have a team that's going to be in contention to get in the tournament every single year. You go to the tournament, you take your chance, and sooner or later you're going to win 3-4 games. And you win 4 games, you're in, you know, you're in the Final Four. You win 3 and you're in Elite 8. And so it's going to happen, but you just have to keep increasing the amount of possibility.
Mark Ziegler is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune and the Aztecs. You've been writing recently about all these four-star amazing recruits that Brian Dutcher is getting. What's the reason that Brian Dutcher's on such a roll recruiting-wise, or maybe he's always been on a roll recruiting-wise? And B, how soon will all of this new influx of talent help this program?
Well, to answer the second part of your question, I think it will, and that kind of answers the first part, I think it will help them immediately. I think at least two of these guys are ready to play right now. And the other guy might be by the time he gets here next year. He's got to work on his body a little bit. But they went after players that they thought could play immediately. And in this new age of free transfers where you don't have to sit out, if you have a freshman and he's highly touted and he doesn't play, there's chances are he's going to leave. And so there's no point in really recruiting somebody who's not going to play right away or doesn't have a chance to play right away. And so that's what he did. But the other part of it is, I think there's a few factors. I'm actually working on a story about this right now. Is I think there's a little bit of a residue of the 30-2 season. You know, we've seen it in years past when they've won 30 games. It doesn't happen immediately the next year because recruits are looking. You know, you're looking at a player a year out when you sign them, and so to turn it around by the next fall is a little quick. It's usually 2 years afterwards you see this bump in recruiting, and we've seen it before. So I think there's a 30-2 bump. I also think that a lot of the Power Five conferences have got, you know, all of a sudden the transfer market is something they're interested in with guys not having to sit out. They've seen the success of teams like Baylor or San Diego State, or even Gonzaga's gotten to some transfers now, and how successful it is getting old and being old in the NCAA tournament. And so these schools are really getting infatuated with the transfer market and maybe ignored the high school market a little bit. And I think Brian Dutcher and his staff found a little sweet spot in there and said, look, we got some guys here that we think are big-time players that, I'm not saying they wouldn't have gotten ordinarily, but they would have been fighting a lot more schools for them, and it would have been a tough recruitment. And you might, maybe they don't go 3-for-3. They go 1-for-3 or 2-for-3, which would have been really good anyway. But they went 3-for-3 of the three guys they wanted, and I think that had something to do with it as well.
Talk about this team a little bit. Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune, and one of the things – last two seasons, this ball club has shot the ball better. And that has been a change from, you know, past San Diego State teams. Will this be a trend we continue to see in this season where this team can shoot the ball?
Well, you just hit on the thing I think is going to really be the sort of deciding factor on this team this year is how well they shoot it. You lost Jordan Shackle and you lost Terrell Gomez. Both those guys were ranked in the top 10 among active players in career three-point shooting last season. And you take two of those guys off your team, and a guy like Matt Mitchell also could shoot it when he needed to.
Right.
That's a lot of shooting you got to replace. Now, they got shooters. They got guys who can shoot. I mean, Keith Dinwiddie, who barely played last year, is one of the purest shooters I've ever seen. But, you know, is he going to be positioned to play? Can his defense and his passing and court vision improve enough to get on the floor? You know, can Adam Seiko shoot it a little bit better than he did last season? Is Trey Pulliam going to improve his shooting? And all the indications are that they have, but until they do in the game, we won't know that. And so it's hard to answer that question. The one thing I will tell you about this team that is different in the last few years is when they got in the NCAA tournament and they walked out in the jump circle, there are times you look at them and go, man, that other team looks really big. You know, our guys look kind of skinny compared to those guys. Are just men. That won't happen this year. This is a big, big, big team, big, strong team. I mean, they got guys, 6'9" guys just yoked up, and they got a lot of them. And, you know, and they're just, everyone else has been lifting weights over the summer and bigger and strong. Keyshawn Johnson, when people see him, are going to go, oh my goodness. I mean, he's got huge shoulders now. And I just think, you know, they're an old team. They got a whole bunch of seniors and they're not, you know, they're not going to be, people are going to look at them and say, okay, this is a legitimate team. But they wise, Brian Dutch said, when they walk through the airport, they're going to know it's a basketball team now.
Lamont Butler, he was exciting to watch last year in stretches. I mean, you know, he was like a freshman, obviously, like any other freshman, I guess is what I mean to say. I mean, had some ups and downs, but this kid seemed like he's somebody that's going to be able to be spectacular. Is that what we're expecting from him this year, that kind of a leap? Can he make that kind of a stretch?
Well, we'll see. You know, the one thing is, yeah, he was a freshman last year, but he was also a unique freshman in that COVID wiped out his summer and most of his fall. And those are really, really important times for freshmen now in college basketball. Because, you know, kids now, it used to be they just show up at the beginning of school and then, you know, get acclimated. And then 6 weeks later, you start practice. Now, kids come in July, the first week of July, freshmen do, incoming freshmen. And they work all summer, and then they work all August, they work all September. And then you start preseason practice even earlier than you used to. It used to be October 15th. Now they're starting the last week of September. But he missed all that. And so he kind of had to learn the fly during the season. And so in some respects, he's still a freshman compared to what normal freshmen are. Now that he's had a spring and a summer of normal workouts, you really start to see the progression. I've seen practice a few times, and he has made some spectacular plays. The guy is not afraid. You know, I just talked about how big this team is. He's taking it to the hoop, into the body, trying to dunk on guys who are 6'10", and he's, you know, 6'1". He had one yesterday at a breakaway where he cocked his body and threw it in sideways over his head left-handed. I mean, it was pretty spectacular to see. He's gotten stronger, and there are going to be some spectacular moments, but I still think we'll see a little bit of inconsistency just because he hasn't had the normal, you know, arc of learning and progression that a normal freshman would. But he's going to be a big-time player. He already is in many respects.
Mark, you mentioned Keyshawn Johnson, who this sounds like there's some expectation behind him this year. Will he be able to make this jump to be a more consistent, productive player?
You see, you got great questions today because you mentioned the shooting and now you mentioned Keyshawn. Those are the two factors, man, that are going to decide this team. You know, the shooting for obvious reasons. Keyshawn is a guy who they've been patiently working with for 2 years. And when they took him out of high school, they knew it was going to be a little bit of a project. He was a raw athlete who didn't play at a real high level in high school and didn't have a lot of coaching and played a lot on asphalt, you know, and pickup games. And they love that about him. They love the creativity. But now they got to put him a little bit more structure and teach him some stuff. And you know, it's just a big unknown. Well, he's really made a big leap defensively. And that was the big question for him freshman year. I mean, he can guard anybody, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 right now. I mean, he is so long and so smart now, understands the concepts and sophisticated defensively. So that's not going to be a problem. He'll get on the floor because of that. The question for me is his shot. And anyone who saw his shot last year with the side spin knows it's really hit or miss. He's changed it a little bit. There's still some side spin, not quite as much. But he's bulked up so much that I think if he can find that niche, and I think it's kind of the Kawhi niche. Remember, Boardman gets paid. If he kind of gets that mentality, he's so big and strong, he leaps so quickly, he's got those arms, he's got the verticality. I mean, he could be a 10 rebound per game kind of guy. And if he does that, he's going to be really, really, really effective. If he's kind of a 10-point, 10-rebound guy, which is what kind of Kawhi was, people forget that he didn't shoot it when he was in college. I mean, he could be a monster out there. And that's, you know, remains to be seen. It's a different mentality. It's a hard hat mentality. It's not go in the corner and just shoot threes. He's got to get in there and make stuff happen inside. But he's starting to show some signs of that. We'll see when the games start, but that's going to be the key to the season.
I'll tell you one thing. I totally remember that Kawhi couldn't shoot was at San Diego State because I think about it every time I see him knock down 5 threes in a row in the NBA. I'm like, I wish he could have done that at San Diego State.
He was always around the basketball at San Diego State. It didn't matter if he had brought it up or not. He somehow ended up with the ball underneath the basket scoring a bucket.
Yeah, that's where he scored. But, man, if he could have shot, we would have been in the Final Four.
I tell you what, I remember this from Bill Burtka. He's an old Lakers assistant.
Yeah, I remember
and just
Bill.
A grizzled guy, really good basketball man. And he once told me, I said, "Who is Michael Jordan the hardest guy to game plan for?" And he said, "No, Charles Barkley is." And I said, "Why?" I said, "You know, Charles Barkley's not a great, great offensive player like Jordan is. And, you know, Jordan's got the mid-range game. He can shoot threes and get to the basket." He goes, "Yeah, but you can go get the ball out of his hands. You can run a second guy and get the ball out of his hands." He goes, "Charles Barkley goes and gets the ball. He just goes and gets it. He's such a good offensive rebounder, such a nose for the ball. Like he just said, he always had his hands on it." And that's what Kawhi was. I mean, you, there's nothing you can do. You just, you know, if there's a missed shot on the offensive end, you just hope he doesn't get it and put it back in. And that's what Keyshawn can be. He's got those kind of physical skills, and he's starting to get that mentality. Now he's got the body. So we'll see if he can kind of become a little bit, you know, it's unfair to compare a guy to Kawhi, but if he could take some of those elements and apply it to his game, he could be really, really good.
Last thing real quick, Mark, we got a minute or so, and obviously the season ended in very disappointing fashion. I mean, everybody's season except for Baylor's, I guess, ends disappointing, but to get blown out in that Syracuse game after a 14-game win streak, I don't think a lot of us saw that coming. My question on that, does Brian Dutcher and the staff feel like they have to go back to the drawing board, change anything about the way they get ready for postseason play, or is it, do they have to be careful not to overreact to that one game?
I think they're just not. If you know what I mean about Brian Dutcher, it's just not overreaction. I mean, they were having a little scrimmage segment yesterday in practice, and, you know, it was kind of going up and down, and one team kind of got ahead of the other team, and he sat him down afterwards. He goes, look, don't panic. This is just basketball. There's runs. You just got to keep playing hard. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I think that's kind of their mentality. That was a horrible matchup for them. And then they had some really off shooting nights from the shooters that we talked about that they had relied on all year, and they hadn't faced much zone all year. So I think it was more of a one-off. It was such a weird season. I don't think you could put much stock into it. Just like with the Padres last season, it's hard to put a lot of stock into a 60-game baseball season for a lot of reasons. And just like last season with COVID and no fans and the weirdness of the NCAA tournament, I don't think you can put stock into that and sound alarm bells. I think they'll just kind of go forward. And like I said, try to get to the NCAA tournament as many times as you can. And one of these years, you're going to just, you know, pop off a 3 or 4 game run, and it'll be, you know, a historic end of the season.
I don't know. I still have nightmares of that Buddy Boeheim guy.
Well, look at this.
I looked it up. He only shot 7 for 10 in that game. It seemed like he shot 17 for 18. You know?
Oh, I know. And no one could guard him. But I tell you what, this team is, you know, that was an example where they walked on the floor and they go, oh my gosh, these guys are huge. They're just thicker and taller and bigger and stronger than this. And I think this is the thing about this team. It's much more athletic than last year's team. Last year had some very good players, very smart players. But, you know, when you replace Matt Mitchell with Matt Bradley, Matt Bradley is like Matt Mitchell, except he's a much bigger, better athlete, stronger, more physically fit. You know, and you add Chad Baker-Mazzara, who isn't the shooter that Jordan Shackle was, but he is a ridiculous athlete. And so when you start adding those athletes, that adds up, and that means something sometimes in those NCAA tournament games. So it'll be a different team and different look and maybe a different outcome this time.
All right, Mark. Well, we love catching up with you as always. Look forward to the season. November 9th is the home opener and the opener against UC Riverside. So we're less than a month away. Mark, thanks again as always.
Thanks, Mark.
Good catching up
My
with
pleasure.
You.
My pleasure.
All right, My there pleasure. He goes. Mark Ziegler from the Union Tribune on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. We got a chance for you to qualify to win a trip to Las Vegas. That sounds good to you. Dial in right now, 833-288-0973. Play some Chris versus the Fans when we return on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.